The first scripture lesson this morning is from Psalm 42. As the deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. When I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of our cataracts. All our waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, and they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, and I shall again praise him, my help and my God. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Don, for the reading of that psalm. That psalm kind of echoes the scripture reading that is for today that we find in the book of 1 Kings, verses 19. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 15. And this chapter in the book is a dramatic one. We're coming into the story of the prophet of Elijah. Now, Elijah just conquered over all of these prophets and killed all these prophets that were for the god Baal. And this is the story after we are introduced to Jezebel and Ahab and how they thought Baal was all that in a bag of chips, to put it in layman's terms. And then Elijah comes in and said, nope, your gods ain't worth it. My God's better. And now we're following into the story with chapter 19. So here we go. Hold on tight, for the Lord is speaking. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. In layman's term, I'm coming for you, and I'm bringing my army too. Then he, Elijah, was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he, Elijah, went a day's journey ahead into the wilderness, and he came and he sat under a solitary broom tree, and he asked that he might die. It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down on the broom tree and fell asleep. And suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked And there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and he laid back down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank. And then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and he spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Well, the messenger said to him, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now, there was a great wind, so strong that it's splitting the mountains and breaking rocks in places and the pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a great fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to chew on that word for a little moment. Oh, Lord, what am I going to tell you today? Okay, well, first and foremost, let us pray. Father, you are here, and you have been speaking to each of us. You have been using so many different things so far, and Lord, I continue to ask for you to infuse us. May we hear from your word. May we hear a message that you have for each of us. May our minds, our thoughts, and our hearts be open and acceptable for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon today is called "The Inheritance of Attentiveness." Sounds pretty hoity-toity. The inheritance of attentiveness. But it's not. It comes from me. So I figure I start off with a joke of some sort. Well, anyway, there was an excited little boy one day, and he was so excited about his day that he needed to share it with somebody. So he goes to his dad, and he's so excited. He's sharing with his dad everything that happened that day that was so awesome. He's just going a mile a minute. You know how little boys can be, or little girls can be as well, right? So excited, sharing everything that happened with his day. And the dad said, whoa, 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 whoa. Slow up, honey, slow up. You're talking way too fast. And the little boy shot back at him. Oh, no, Daddy. I'm not talking too fast. You're just not listening fast enough. Yeah. I have an idea that that might have been me when I was younger. Quiet, Jeff. I heard that. Thing with the husband having a loud voice. You can hear him anywhere. Anyway, today I want to talk about attentiveness, and I want to talk about listening. Not just any type of listening, but good listening, risk-taking listening. Good listeners are risk-takers. Imagine a two-sided balance, if you will. If we were to place the act of speaking on one side of the scale, and the act of listening on the other side, we might assign speaking with the weightier importance. As communicators, we think our words matter the most. When I taught public speaking courses many moons ago, my students felt the need to continuously speak in their speeches. They had 5 to 7 minutes to speak on a topic, but how would they fill those 5 to 7 minutes? They were nervous about that. They could talk about it for 3 minutes, no problem. But 5 to 7 minutes? Ooh, what are they going to say? And I would encourage them, be brave. You know more than you think. But don't forget to embrace the pause. Now, many of us realize how much pauses lend to our speaking and how much they can enhance a message. The best public speakers know the power of the pause. The pause is a gift to you as a speaker and to the audience. Pauses are the key to building suspense, telling a joke successfully. They call that timing in comedian world. But also conveying a message. And the pause gives time for the audience to listen and comprehend what you're trying to say. Sometimes we speak so fast that an audience member might still be stuck at your hello rather than where you are in your speech. So there's some fear in the pause for beginning speakers. Why are we so afraid of that pause? Why are we so afraid of silence? It's an empty space, and it feels awkward. It promotes fear deep in down inside. It says, whoa, something's not right here. Am I miscommunicating something? Professional public speakers will share with you that if you want to be a more commanding presenter, shed the fear of silence and stop talking. In the words of Mark Twain, the right word may be effective, but no word was ever as effective as a rightly timed pause. It is in these attentive pauses that we are invited to listen. We are invited to take a risk and lean in a little closer to listen. Certainly, the dominance of speaking over listening reflects wildly in our Western culture, especially in the United States. Take a look at our political scene. I mean, goodness gracious, they're nothing but a bunch of talking heads sometimes. Talk, 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 talk. In our churches sometimes, those who speak loudest at committee meetings are often the ones who get their way. In our homes, our community, and within our friends and family circles, we are drawn to gregarious and warm personalities who are able to communicate love and affectionately with their words and their actions. We have assigned a great cultural value to those who risk putting themselves out there by asserting themselves through words and persuasive arguments, all while maintaining a friendly and approachable demeanor. We prioritize the speakers over the listeners because speaking is believed to be riskier. I think it takes more risk to listen than it is to speak. The prophet Elijah, as we heard today, well, he was a great risk-taking communicator. He spoke God's truth into power. In the chapter that we did not read today, he declared God of Israel's superiority over all the gods, putting down the prophets of Baal, which resulted in the killing of those prophets. And these set us up for today's scene, as we heard, where Jezebel promised to exact revenge upon Elijah, come after him. And Elijah runs for his life, and he flees the scene, and he finds a broom tree to sleep under, where he pleads for God to take his life. Oh, woe is me. Okay, so imagine. You know what a broom tree looks like? It's exactly what it sounds like, a broom tree. What does a broom look like? It has nothing but dead straw at the bottom of it. He went under a dead tree and asked God to kill him under a dead tree. Really? Elijah? That's what you're going to do? I have a feeling God may have looked down at him and just said, oh, geez, okay, you're not listening, hon. But that's how I think God sounds like in my head. Might not sound like that in yours. But Elijah was at his wit's end. He was overwhelmed. He was overcome with fear. There was so much noise around him that it got him to the point where he shut his ears off and he could do nothing but talk. It was then when the passage shifts a little bit. And you might not noticed it, but Elijah, he was speaking a lot at the beginning, and towards the middle, when he was being provided with food and water, he listened. He listened to the angel, the messenger, saying to get up and eat. He listens to it twice. And Elijah listens, even though he doesn't know what's lying ahead. And then he's also strengthened by his listening, strengthened for his journey, all in the quietness. Then the word of the Lord came and told him to go stand by a cave and said that the mountain of the Lord is there and just to wait for the Lord to pass by. Now, great winds surged to the point of the mountains beginning to break apart, and the rocks were splitting in half, and the earth was literally fired up and shaken, and all this, it's like an action scene. All this was going on. What would you do if you saw and witnessed the earth shattering before you, the winds picking up, the rain coming in slant ways and byways and all kinds of ways, the earth breaking open? Would you run and cover? I know I would. But Elijah doesn't. Elijah does not cover his face. He is hoping that God is in those miraculous, natural signs, if you will. But he doesn't encounter God and all of that loud noise. Where does Elijah encounter God? In the sound of silence. As the scripture said, God was not in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. The very presence of God was in the sound of silence. It is in this still silence of God that causes Elijah to wrap his face in his mantle. Not when things were exploding in front of him. He covered his face when it got real quiet. And it is where God interceded and where Elijah took his greatest risk by listening to God. In the midst of Elijah's fear after encountering God through the still silence, he simply repeats what he said in verse 10. When he was pouring out what he had to say, it sounded like a rehearsed speech at first. But after he encountered the silence, he said the same exact thing. But I believe he said it with a new heart, a new pair of eyes. He said it with fear, but it was humble. And in his response, he comes to realize that he was not fully listening at first, and he was paying too much attention to the distractions around him. I mean, if somebody's coming after to kill you, that's kind of a big distraction. How do you not pay attention to that? But he was coming to terms with himself before the Lord in silence. Ooh, that takes risk and bravery. Listening is risky. Attending to the still small voice of God is risky. Yet, the inheritance of our faith, as revealed through the scriptures, that we have this ability to take the risk, and we have the ability to listen, to stand in the stillness, overwhelmed by it all, and know that God is worth the risk. How many times have we found ourselves in a similar situation? How many have been drowned out by the silence? How many of us are unable to focus and listen? There's so much noise that is impeding on all of our daily lives. How many of us have made excuses for drowning out the silence, have become anxious, have become overwhelmed, have become sick, poor in health, not sleeping well, or hustling and bustling and leave something out of your next thing? You're late to one thing and you've got to go to the next thing. There's so much thing that's being involved. Noise, noise, noise. How many of us struggle to turn the noise off? Silence and stillness comes with a cost. Are we willing to be brave enough to face the silence and listen, truly listen? I am guilty of it. It crystallized for me when I went on a spiritual weekend in 2009 when I was asked to be silent. I didn't know what I was going to encounter, and at my life at that time, it couldn't get any louder. Things were coming at all directions. That feeling that you were lost and you had no idea where to turn. Nothing was helping. Nothing was blocking out the noise. It was so loud. I had so much going on that I was not truly listening for God. Looked like I was. I put on a good show. On that weekend, I was able to sit in silence, and it was painful. God, it was painful. To be in a room with your own thoughts, your own anxieties, your own doubt swallowing you. I was scared. I felt like Elijah, covered under a mantle, except I was in room 14 on a bed with a pillow and a blanket covered all over me because I did not want anyone to see me. Drowning in my own tears, I was in my head coming up with excuse after excuse why I should break the silence. I didn't want to hear the loudness of the silence anymore. Yet it was in that silence that I realized there are a lot of things that I had been running and hiding from, and I was using my busyness as a defense mechanism. I was using it as a barrier to keep me away from God and to keep me from listening to God. That weekend 10 years ago, I took a risk to listen and attend to the still small voice of God. It was hard as hell, I'm not going to lie. But friends, it was transformational. Transformational. And I cannot say that I have completely made it out on the other side, and I don't know if it's the same way for you or if it will be that way for you if you haven't heard the silence yet. We don't know what lies ahead on the journey, but I have realized that taking the risk and making room to listen has been worth it. How many of us can relate? How many of us have taken the risk to attend to the still small voice of God, to pause and listen? How many times have we intentionally ignored the voice for fear that it might cause us to take a risk that we're not prepared for or think we're not prepared for? For fear that it might cause us to change or to transform. God is in the silence, speaking. Good listeners are the risk takers. The inheritance of our faith is attending to God, attending to the work and witness in the world, attending to Christ's command to love God and love neighbor, to attend to the Spirit's stirring deep within us and to those around us. And yet, it is in the silence that causes us to cover our heads and to come and bow before the Lord. That silence is what makes the most impact. To listen and risk. Now, the fear is still there. I ain't gonna lie. It doesn't take away the fear. Now, I imagine Elijah went back to the wilderness and he was still afraid. But he knew that the risk was gonna be worth it. Somehow, some way, he was gonna make it through. Now listen, 10 years ago, in that silence, God called me to ministry. Scared the hell out of me. But I took the risk and I listened. I listened to what God was calling me to do. I didn't think I could do it. I'm here today though, doing it despite. Taking the risk. And of all things, friends, you have been my first stop in this risk-taking journey. Trinity was my first stop along the way, and I cannot thank you enough for the impact that you have had on me and on my ministry. You took a risk, and I took a risk with you. And I think we've done did good, huh? Yeah. We've done good. This is all for God. Amen? Yes, give glory to God. Now, friends, I don't know what the future holds. But But I know that God didn't bring us this far to leave us. God is at work at Trinity. God is in the walls here, outside the walls, in every single face here. God is always leading and providing and never abandoning. It may be quiet for some time, but that's where God will show up. God continues to call us into relationship. God will continue to be at Trinity. Now, this summer, there's going to be many changes happening. And it may feel that all things are going cattywampus. Friends, God is still there. Are you brave enough to take the risk and listen for where God is speaking, where God is leading? I encourage you to take the risk and attend to the still small voice of God and listen in the silence. Where is God calling you? God will provide direction. God will provide assurance, strength, discernment, and wisdom. Turn down the noise and listen carefully. Lean in, because God ain't finished with you yet. Do not get distracted by the busyness or get caught up in the talking heads. Hold each other accountable so that God can show up. Take the risk and engage in risk-taking listening. And with that, I say farewell. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, friends, we've been talking a lot about silence, been talking a lot about being quiet, but if any of you know me, I ain't quiet. So, friends, this last song is one of my favorite camp songs, if you will, this little light of mine, because it reminds us why we are called, why we are God's children. And we are called to serve and shine our light out in the community. And we've said that almost every week here at Trinity, Pastor. And I don't want to sing this song like a simple song written in the hymn. I've asked Edgar to jazz it up a little bit for us. Oh, yeah. Are you ready? So, let us sing together and shine our lights for Jesus. Stand as you're able, and let us sing this little light of mine as Edgar will lead us. Come on, there we go. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine.